Good morning, Evanston Avenue. I'm Tina.
And I'm Keith. Here. That's right.
What? Thanks. What's it for?
Just because.
Aw, so sweet. No, really, what's this coffee for?
Seriously, it's just because. Today is National Just Because Day.
Oh. Well, thanks. If you've ever wondered what your next steps might be to get connected to Evanston, we have a quick video to help you decide.
So check it out.
This is really good.
Hi, I'm Daniel, and we wanted to let you know how you can get more connected here at Evanston Avenue Baptist Church. Our children's and our youth programs are currently on their summer break, but that doesn't mean we don't have anything for them. Hype will be meeting every other week during the summer, but there are a few exceptions, so you'll want to check your calendar for that. For the adults, we have our monthly fellowship dinners. That'll be the last Sunday of every month. We also have our men's golf and our ladies' meetings. We also have a lot of volunteer opportunities available, so please talk to us about those if you're interested. We are still editing our Stories of Faith videos, so be on the lookout for those coming soon. If you're like me and can't remember these dates after the sermon, then check out the website. It's got all of our events and dates on there. So no matter where you're at in your journey, there's something for you.
Hey, Tina, what you reading?
I'm reading the bulletin. Did you know it's filled with information about our church you might find handy?
I did know that, and that is also where you can find the connection card. If you fill that out, you'll be able to stay up to date with all the things going on at the church.
You can also use that card to let us know if you need prayer or would like someone from the church to contact you.
So why don't you get busy filling this one out? And you guys out there, you can do the same. And when you're done, you can just drop it on the pew when you leave, and one of our amazing ushers will pick it up for you. Or, if you're more of a techie, you can find an expanded calendar and connection form on our website.
The website is a great resource where you can find all the information you're looking for.
We post some pretty interesting articles and resources there a couple times a week, so you definitely want to go there and check that out.
Don't forget, if you want to go back and listen to a Sunday school lesson or sermon, you can do that too.
Yes!
We have an archive with the audio and the slides and so much more.
So head on over to evanstonavenuebaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but before that, we do have a couple more important things to share with you. T-shirts are on sale again. Talk to Joy or stop by the office to order.
And mark your calendars for September 10th for our community worship and picnic.
We'll be getting together with other churches in our neighborhood to worship together and then enjoy a picnic.
Well, now that we have you up to speed, it's time to grab a pencil and take out your Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you. Now here's Pastor Matt wrapping up the series about finding your place.
Here's Pastor Matt.
All right, we will see if technology is cooperating with me from my microphone. All right, let's ask the ushers to come forward. I'm going to pray for the offering. I'm going to pray for the message. Then we're going to jump right in. Now, I do have a couple of additional announcements, or at least clarifications, that I need to present to you guys. So before we pray, I need you guys to be involved here for just a second. Could you guys do me a favor? Everyone say the word chair. Okay, you need to bring one of those September 10th to the picnic that we're doing, okay? We're having an outdoor worship service, and we're having a picnic afterwards, and so I need you to bring a thank you. Or if you like sitting on the ground, feel free. But I creak when I go in, so I'm on a chair. Number two, I need everyone to say the word food. So because it's a picnic, I need you all to bring, particularly, I need you to bring things that are individually wrapped. Bring like little bags of chips, bring any fruit that God wraps, bring cookies, things that we can just kind of grab and throw away. We do not want anyone bringing their fourth generation crystalline potato salad bowl to the picnic with several hundred people, because we want you to take it home, and I'm not keeping track of your bowl. So everything that we're bringing is disposable, okay? So I need you to bring, number one, a chair, number two, food, and then number three, I need you guys to bring an absolute spirit of service. That was harder to say, but I need you to bring a spirit of service. September the 10th is not an Evanston Avenue Baptist-focused event. Amen?
Amen?
We are here to build relationships with all the churches in Sheldon Park and Oakview, and we're here to serve the community. So what I do not ever want to see is a table full of Evanston Avenue Baptist people only. Amen? We are there to serve, we are there to welcome, we are there to show love, and to show love without any strings attached. Amen? So September the 10th, that's what we're doing. Bring chair, bring food, bring a servant's heart. Amen? Let me pray for the offering. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for all the things that you have blessed us with. Thank you for the love that you lavish upon us, and we just recognize that everything we have comes from you. So Father, we return to you a small portion of what you have blessed us with. We ask that you receive it in the spirit with which it is given. Lord, use our gifts to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon and also around the world. Father, as we turn our attention to your word, we just ask, Lord, that our hearts would be open to receive the message from your word. Lord, may our lives be transformed. May we leave here more like you and less like who we were when we got here. Lord, we ask for your blessing. And Father, as the pastor, I simply ask that any word that is from me would fall to the ground, and every word that is in line with your word would endure forever and change our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty. Oh, before we dive in, a couple of quick things. This is our last sermon on finding our place. We've talked about spiritual gifts and talents and how all of us are called to serve. You all have a ministry. That's what this series has been about. Starting next Sunday, we're doing a shorter series called Break Open the Sky. I love that expression, and it actually comes from a Toby Mac song. And it's a song about prayer. How we are at, when we pray, we have this amazing connection with God that breaks open the sky. And prayer is something that we do. I just did it. We know that we're supposed to do it, but I'm still always baffled by how difficult prayer can be, and how we need to learn how to have this encounter with God on a regular basis called prayer. And I talk to people all the time, like, am I supposed to use certain words? Do I have to sound like I'm William Shakespeare? How do I connect with God? How do I break open that sky and just commune with God himself through prayer? So we're going to spend just a couple of weeks on that, and then we're going to move into a different series. But that's what's going to start next week. So come ready. It'll be great. Now, as we wrap up finding our place, I need to make it's not really a confession, but more of a reminder that I'm one of these weird guys that I really enjoy stories that transport me into a completely different world. I love it. I love Star Wars. I love Star Trek. I love all that kind of fun stuff. I love Narnia. And one of my favorite book and movie series, of course, would be our friends, The Hobbits and Lord of the Rings. Do we have anyone? And other people like that. It's so weird. I know. That's why I like it. Thank you. All right. But I also love, you know, the stories behind the stories. Now, I don't know if you guys realize this, but the book, or the series, The Chronicles of Narnia, along with several other books, was written by a man by the name of C.S. Lewis, who was a professor and a friend of the author of Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien. They were friends. And what most people don't realize is that before The Hobbit, Tolkien's kind of big, you know, first story that so many of us know and love, and they just made it into movies, before that was released, Tolkien gave the first three chapters to his friend and his professional colleague, C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis says, this is great. This is like a bolt of lightning out of a clear blue sky. It's such a great story. But C.S. Lewis also came back, and he actually gave a number of critiques and criticisms to his friend, J.R.R. Tolkien. He said, you have too much Hobbit speak. The main character was named Bingo. Can you imagine the story of Bingo instead of Bilbo? No, I don't think so. And he just made a lot of suggestions to make the story more accessible. And to his credit, Tolkien said, you are absolutely right. And he reworked the entire story to make it more accessible to people. And it became this huge story that we still love and enjoy today. And I love that. I love that idea of Tolkien and Lewis having this friendship, having this deep relationship that allowed C.S. Lewis to speak into the life of his good friend, J.R.R. Tolkien, and that Tolkien was willing to sit back and listen. Now, I love that because as Christians, as believers, part of finding our place, part of finding where we fit in God's kingdom here is not just discovering your personal ministry. It's not just finding your spiritual gifts. It's not just finding your talents and your passions and all of that stuff we've been talking about. But part of finding your place in God's kingdom here in this church is also finding deep relationships. Finding deep relationships. The kind of relationship like what C.S. Lewis and J.R. Tolkien had, where they were friends and they kind of encouraged each other in their professional and in their personal lives. And I don't know if you've noticed, but those relationships are harder to find today. Have you ever noticed that? Real, deep relationships are hard to find, in part because most of us are doing this. Yep. And of course, the younger generation, they don't realize that if someone likes your Facebook post, it doesn't mean that you're really their friend. It doesn't mean that you know them. It doesn't mean that you can speak into their lives. It just means you said something witty. Now, for those of us that are a little bit older, who have a little bit more experience in relationships, before we go, this young generation, please know, we all learn how to do relationships. It's a taught thing. But relationships, no matter how we learned our relationships, good, bad, or ugly, we cannot escape the fact that our deep relationships are absolutely critical for us. I found this study. It was by Barna. If you don't know Barna, Barna would be like the Gallup group. They do polls and surveys, and they kind of evaluate things. But they asked this really important question of young people who don't always know how to do deep relationships very well. And they asked, you know, they kind of surveyed, you know, what does it take for a young person to hold on to their faith once they leave home? And once they graduate high school and go off to college, when they, you know, go out into the world, right now, 60 to 80% of our Christian young people who grow up in church have walked away from the faith. When they've come to youth group and come to Sunday school, they leave and then they walk away from Jesus. And so Barna was asking the question, he said, you know, what really makes it important? What helps young people cling to their faith through their whole life? And they came up with three things. Because all of us, if we're really honest, are clinging to deep relationships. And here's what they found. If a young person's parents practiced the faith in the home and in their daily lives, not just in public church settings like here, we can all fake it when we're here. But when kids see their parents living Jesus for real in their day-to-day life. Number two, if the young person had at least one significant adult mentor or friend other than their parents who practiced their faith seriously, somebody other than parents who could speak into their lives. And last but not least, if the young person had at least one significant spiritual experience before the age of 17. And Barna says this, in other words, the teenagers most likely to retain their Christian faith into adulthood if they have a meaningful and healthy relationship with their parents, a faithful Christian mentor outside the family, and a connection with God himself. My friends, it is absolutely, absolutely vital for our church to be experts in building deep relationships. And there's actually a name for this. There's actually a name for what I'm talking about. You've heard it before. It's called mentors. It is absolutely important that we become this. Not just that I speak into the life of my children. Because trust me, having a pastor for a dad can be just as much of a turn off to Christ as it is a turn on to Christ. Amen? My kids need other people who are not their family members to speak into their lives. And when we do a baby dedication, part of the reason why we have you guys stand up and say, "Will you help this child? Will you help him or her know Jesus as their Lord and Savior?" is because this church is filled with godly men and godly women who can speak into the life of children. And my friends, that's when it starts to be that real thing where it's not just my folks trying to push this on me. I got somebody else that I can bounce ideas off, that I can listen to, and that they'll encourage me and they'll set me straight. We need to be the church that does so well at mentoring not just the children, but people in general. Because for us to find our place, we need to have the next generation of believers and leaders coming up behind us. Because all of us will leave this church eventually. All of us, myself included, will leave this church either when we pass away and go to Jesus, or when Jesus comes back, or for some other reason, every one of us will leave this church. And the only chance this church has of continuing to sustain the ministry of Jesus Christ here on the corner of Evanston and Roberts is if we mentor the next generation of leaders. Otherwise, this church dies with us. It is absolutely vital that we speak into the lives of the next generation. Not just your kids and grandkids, but my kids, other people's kids, and speak words of truth and love into their lives. It's absolutely essential that we are a church that does that, especially when the kids are used to this. And to have someone that can say, put the phone down, let me look at you. Let me tell you something. You are loved by God. And I do too. I believe in you. And my friends, what's really awesome is that this is not just me saying it's a good idea. We see mentoring as a critical part of discipleship in the Bible. I want you to join me this morning. I want you to join me in 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because we see it. We see it with Jesus, because part of what he did is he took this ragtag group of young men, 12 of them, and he said, follow me. Be my disciples. And the heartbeat of discipleship is when an older believer, an older teacher, mentors younger ones in the ways of the faith. But it's not just Jesus. It wasn't just Jesus who said, come follow me, learn from me. We're going to see here that Paul did the exact same thing. Paul made sure that he had somebody, actually several somebodies, to follow him and succeed him when his time in this earth was done. Because think about it this way, my friends. Why do we even know who Paul was? Why do we know who Paul was? Part of the reason why we know who Paul was is that the Holy Spirit inspired him to write letters, and his followers, the people being mentored by Paul, held on to those letters. Paul made sure that he was serving his ministry. He had found his place. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. And he also made sure there was somebody following behind to take over for him when he was done. Mentoring preserves the ministry of our church. And so I want you to join me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 10. And this is Paul. He had a very special relationship with a young man named Timothy. Those of you who are in life groups, we talked a little bit about that this week, about how Timothy was found by Paul and started following him along. And there's this great relationship, this great rapport that builds over time. In fact, Paul begins this letter to Timothy, his mentoree, his disciple, his student, by calling him a beloved son. You're my beloved son. And so here are the words that Paul shares with Timothy. He says, you, however, you know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. And what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, the persecutions that I endured. See, my friends, Timothy had been following along with Paul for a long time, sharing in the ministry. And then it goes on, and it says, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, verse 12, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue on in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And he goes on to say, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And my friends, what we see here, what we see Paul talking about is we see how he has mentored Timothy over the years. We were just talking about it in Sunday school today. We were kind of picking apart the book of Philemon. We actually see that by the time Paul wrote this letter to Philemon and the book of Colossians, Timothy was more than just his son. He was his brother at the same time, his partner in ministry. Romans 16 tells us that he was the fellow worker. He was his shoulder to shoulder partner in ministry. And here we see Paul laying out how he mentored Timothy over the years. And I want to share with you how we as Christians need to be mentoring the next generation and the skills that we'll need. So the first one is this. The mentoring skill number one is invite observation. Invite observation. For those of us who are seeking to be disciple makers, for those of us who are seeking to pass on our faith, to mentor the next generation, it starts with inviting someone to observe you. To observe you. To see how you live. The heartbeat of discipleship of Jesus is Jesus saying, follow me, walk with me, see how I live, see how I die, see how I treat people. And in the process of mentoring, we are doing a similar thing. We are saying, come look at my life. Not because I'm perfect. Not because I get it right. But because I can show you how to be faithful in our imperfections. I can show you how to be faithful in spite of our sin. And if you check out the text, look at verse 10 and 11. We actually see the things that Paul is telling Timothy that he was looking for. Part of the observation that Timothy had. Check this out. It says, you, however, know all about my teaching. So the first thing that Timothy was observing was Paul's doctrine. Okay, we do pretty good with this. We do good at teaching the Bible to our kids. We do good at learning the Bible ourselves as adults. We always will keep doing that. Learning the doctrine, learning the teachings of the Bible. That's number one. But my friends, can I just be honest? When it comes to us mentoring someone, it's not just, all right, let's sit down and I'm going to teach you a lesson. Okay, that's part of it. We need that, yes. But what people need to see, what I need my kids to see, is when someone else's life falls apart, how is that teaching real? Because we can say this stuff all day long, but until things go sideways in our life, that's when it really proves itself. Amen? And so my kids need to see me struggling with God's word in real life, and they need to see you struggling with God's word in real life. Because life is messy, my friends. Amen? It's messy because we're messy. We're sinful. And is God's teaching still true even when life gets messy? They need to see that in action. So yes, you know all about my teaching. You know about my way of life, Paul says. That's how we put that teaching into practice. When I'm standing in line at the grocery store and I'm at Myers and I've been there for 85 minutes waiting for the speedy line to move. Anyone else? Amen? Am I the only one? Yeah. The express lane, that's two lives for the price of one. My ice cream is turning into a milkshake. You know, I'm waiting for this. And the person running the counter is having a horrible day. Can the people that I'm mentoring see Jesus in me as I interact with this person? Can they see it in my way of life? And then check out the next things that it says. My purpose. Paul has a purpose. That's what we've been talking about this whole series. You have a purpose. God has put you here to do something for him. And invite someone to follow. Watch what I'm doing. And then I love the next part. My faith, patience, love, and endurance. I love that. So I'm supposed to see Paul's doctrine. I'm supposed to see his way of life, how that doctrine shows up in real life. I'm supposed to see that he has a purpose and that he has a mission. And I'm supposed to see the fruit of the Spirit in his life. I would love to have been around Paul when he had a bad day. I have no idea what he would be like, but I would have loved to have seen that. Because I know what I'm like when I'm having a bad day. I get told I have tantrums every now and again. I'm working on it. But that's part of it too. How is it when our life falls apart? How do I keep living what I believe? So for us, if we really want to be a mentor to someone else, it really involves inviting them to observe us in all the good and all the not so good. That's mentoring skill number one. Mentoring skill number two I want to bring out is important. Mentoring skill number two, we do have to transmit some knowledge somewhere along the way. Because when somebody's a new believer, can I just be honest with you? They don't know anything. They know that they need Jesus and they've accepted him as a savior. They don't know nothing. And so part of our job as mentors is in fact to communicate the knowledge, to transmit the knowledge that they need to know. That's part of our job if we're mentoring. Now, Paul goes on and he actually has a couple of specific pieces of information that we as mentors need to pass on to the people that we're discipling. Okay? If you check out verses 12 and 13. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. There's good news. Paul was not a good salesman. Hey, guess what? Follow Jesus. Your life will get worse. Who wants in? Well, this life will get worse. The next life gets way better. But part of it, part of the knowledge we need to transmit is this, that they need to brace for impact. I don't know if you can see it well. It's actually the statue of Jesus in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil getting struck by lightning. I just kind of like the image because if you want to stand up and say, I'm with Jesus, expect the lightning strike. Expect the persecution. Expect things to go wrong. In fact, I would be so bold to say that if your life is nothing but comfort, if nothing is ever going wrong in your life, you should reevaluate. I mean, look at what the text says. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus might be persecuted. Is that what your Bible says? What does it say? Will be. If I'm not getting struck by lightning somewhere along the way in a spiritual way, if I'm not receiving a persecution, I should probably take a hard look at a couple things in my life. Amen? We need to expect persecutions. Brace for impact. If your life in Christ is easy, consider that you're doing it wrong. Not that we go out and seek trouble, but at the same time, if it's not finding you, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but I leave you my peace. So we need to communicate this. We need to tell people, brace for impact. Life is going to get hard if you're following Jesus. But the second thing we need to communicate is we need to say, you need to learn the word. And this passage here that we love and that we cling to, all scripture is God breathed. Can I get an amen? Thank you. It is his word. It is truth. It doesn't help me if I don't learn it. I know the truth is in here. I just can't. Just not coming in there. You know, unless I'm opening the book and learning it, my life will not be transformed. And part of our job, if we are mentoring, is we are helping people not just learn what the word says, but learn how the word lives in their lives. How does this word, this God breathed, all scripture is God breathed, how does it breathe life into me? And so part of our job as a mentor is we can come alongside and we can say, here's what I see happening in your life. Here's what God's word says. We love you. Let's do something different. One of the people that Becky and I know who was probably the best at this was our friend Grandpa Nick, who's gone to be with Jesus. He was a great dude. You've heard me speak about him. He was a youth volunteer for me when I was a youth pastor. He started volunteering at 86 years old. And I love it when a volunteer comes in and says, I ain't playing dodgeball, I got a bad hip. I'm like, praise Jesus, that is awesome. I have young, expendable college interns for that. You go ahead and just sit down. But he was so great. Because he would literally just kind of, he would do this bold thing. You know, he'd take a kid in his arm and he'd be doing this, like, I love you, but kiddo, you got to change some things. And because he was this grandfather who just, everyone knew the love that poured out of him and the faith that was in him. When he grabbed you and just said, you got to change some things. You're like, thank you, Grandpa Nick, I know, thanks. He could just speak the word of God into our life, far better than I could. Like, yeah, whatever, you're funny. I want to talk to Grandpa Nick. If you are here as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the opportunity to have that kind of a relationship with somebody where we speak the truth in their lives in a way that they receive it with love. And that takes time and relationship, my friends. But it is so important for us that we impart the word, the living word, into the people that we are discipling. So we have to transmit some knowledge. Then I love this part too. This is the third and final ministry skill that I have for you guys this morning. Very simply this: launch intentionally. Launch intentionally. You see, much like parenting, discipling, mentoring ends. And for those of you as a parent, if you're recoiling at this thought, hear me out. We're always going to be our kids' parents. Amen? Whether we want to claim them or they want to claim us, we are always their parents. But there does come a point in time where in Christ we say, we love you, but get out. We love you, get out. Come back, do laundry, get out. And it's not just because we want to redo the room into, like, you know, a workout place or something. But honestly, in Proverbs 22, verse 6, we are told that the purpose of our parenting is to train up our child or children in the way they should go, so when they are old, they don't depart from it. In other words, they need to live it for themselves without depending on mom and dad. And part of our job as parents is to lovingly prepare them and shove them out into the world. Dads, we may do more of the shoving, and moms do it a little differently. But either way, our role as a parent changes when we launch our children into the world. Mentoring is the same way. Mentoring changes. Mentoring stops. Mentoring, the ultimate goal is to prepare people for their purpose and their calling in life. And while Paul was always a mentor and a spiritual father to Timothy, there was a time when he was sent by Paul to pastor a church in a place called Ephesus. Paul became a pastor who took over a church that probably the church of Ephesus had more letters in scripture written to it than any other. They had 1 and 2 Timothy written to their pastor, the book of Ephesus written to them, the book of 1 and 2 John written to them, a letter from Jesus in Revelation written to them. And the man that Paul said would be the best fit for that pastor was his protege, Timothy. And he says this: in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word. And that was Paul's way of saying, Timothy, you've learned everything you can learn from me. Go do it. Live it. Step into your calling and preach the word. And one of the cool things for us as mentors, as disciplers, is when we can say to the person we're mentoring, you've learned all you can learn from me. Go live it now. And then they do. A couple weeks ago, we had a very cool opportunity. We showed some love at the food truck rally. Just picked up garbage. It was great fun. As weird as that sounds, picking up garbage was awesome. And people are like, what are you doing? Like, we're Evanston Avenue Baptist. We just love helping people. I'm taking this is leftovers. Like, okay, whatever. But I had a very cool thing. I bumped into my youth leader, a gal named Allison, probably the first person who ever made God's word come to life. I hadn't seen her in a number of years. And there she is, and we sat, and I bailed on my garbage collecting duties to catch up with her. And it was so cool and so affirming to hear her say that I could tell from the time I met you as a sophomore in high school, God was going to do something in your life. She had a chance to mentor me when I was coming up, and she got to launch me a little bit into the calling that God has in my life. God has blessed me with tremendous mentors who have spoken and continue to speak into my life. One of them's named Roger. So the challenge to you is this: mentor, disciple your kids. Disciple your grandkids, yes. But God is also calling you to intentionally mentor someone else. A new believer, someone else's kids, a co-worker, a neighbor, somebody that God is bringing into your life so that you can pass on your faith to them. And the goal of that is so that you can launch them intentionally into whatever ministry God has in store for that person. Find young men, young women, whatever you are, find one like you and pour into them. Now, I know what you may be saying, Matt, that seems really scary. I'm not sure exactly how to do that. I'm not sure what I would even talk about or how to begin. I know. Fear not. On September 24th, we're starting some new adult Sunday school classes. One of them that I'll be teaching is specifically geared towards this. How do I make disciples who make other disciples? That's what my class is going to be about. It's going to take some time, just so you know. It's not a one-and-done 13-week kind of thing. But if you are really serious and you want to make disciples who make other disciples, I want you to strongly consider Sunday mornings, 9:30, starting September 24th. But this, my friends, is how we pass on our faith to the next generation of those who will leave the church. That's how our faith lives beyond us. Let's pray. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to build relationships with the godly people around us. So, Father, I lift up to you my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I ask that you would bring into their lives the people that you would have them speak into, the people that you would have them mentor or disciple. And, Father, I just pray that those relationships would flourish. Lord, I pray and ask that we would see a whole generation of new, young leaders growing up in our church. Father, show us how we can leave the legacy of faith that lives far beyond us with the people that we help launch into your callings. So, Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my friends, as we wrap up our time together, I want to invite you guys. We're going to worship because ultimately, when we make disciples, we are passing on to others what God has done in our lives because God is the ultimate disciple maker. Amen. And so I just invite you, why don't you stand with us? We're just going to invite God just to very simply step into our hearts and continue to do his work. Let's worship.
I come in simplicity, longing for purity, to worship you. Strip it all away.
Challenge. Pastor said be a mentor. That implies joy. Here's your challenge, folks. We're going to go out with the joy of the Lord. Amen? Because though my tears may fall, my song still rises. Amen? Amen. Here we go.
Though my tears may fall, my song will rise. My song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise. My song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I lift my eyes to you. When the waters rise, I lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord.
See you with my eyes,
with
my faith
arise
to you. When
I cannot see your hand in mine, with my faith arise to you. God
of mercy and love, I will praise you, Lord. Oh, you shine with glory, Lord, alive, I feel alive with you. In your presence now I come alive, I am alive with you.
And with strength when I pray, I will praise you, Lord. The Lord is my strength. In the darkness, I'll dance. In joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The darkness are dancing, the shadows are free. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Sorrow comes my way, you are the shield around me. Always you remain like courage in the fight. I hear you call my name. Jesus, I am coming, walking all the way, reaching for your life. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness of death, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When you're talking about death, the shadows of me. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
In the Lord, why don't you guys grab a seat, please? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Well, okay, that's not the actual reason why you're sitting, but it is still a strength. Go ahead and grab a seat. We have a housekeeping matter that we need to attend to. Can I borrow a microphone, please? There you are, good sir.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, amen. We love to invite new people into the family, and that's cause for rejoicing, so a lot of you know Bill and Ernie Clark, and I just want to invite them to just come on up here right now. They expressed an interest in joining our church, and they met with the elders, and yeah. Apparently you are very well loved. But we just had a great time rejoicing with them and how the Lord has worked in both of their lives to bring them to the place where they know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they want to become a part of this church. So the elders have heard their testimony, and we want to recommend to you, the congregation, that we bring them in. And so I just bring it to you. Is there some kind of a motion to, Radine makes a motion, and Deborah seconds the motion, to bring them on as members of the Evanston Avenue Baptist Church. So there's the motion. Is there any discussion on that motion? Any comments? No?
Praise God.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying amen.
Amen.
All those opposed?
Okay.
Okay. Praise the Lord. And after Pastor Matt dismisses us, if you just like give them a welcome, because we've known them for a long time. So amen. Pray, Pastor Matt?
Amen. Let me pray for you guys first, and then we'll do the blessing. Father, we just thank you so much for Bill and Ernie, Lord. We just thank you for the way that you have knit their lives together. We thank you for bringing them to be a part of our fellowship. We thank you for the immense blessing that they have been already. And Father, we just ask that you continue to walk with them and lead them and guide them as they serve you here and around the world. Lord, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my friends, thank you for that. Would you guys please stand so we can send you out properly with a blessing? Because, my friends, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen?
Amen.
Make sure your face knows that. Yeah, you got to get the message all the way up there because God is good. Amen?
Amen?
So please leave with this blessing. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, be merciful unto you, and in everything may he give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
My friends, if there's anything we can pray with you about or for you about, I'll be around. Otherwise, please, if you haven't met them already, say hi to Bill and Ernie. They are awesome. Go in God's peace.